Okay, just a and to remind us where we were last time, we talked about the ark going over to cross in to possess what God had promised them, and they had to follow that ark. They had to follow the presence of Jesus, and they had to follow about 2,000 cubits behind, which was 1,000 yards or 10 football fields. They had to stay way behind because they had never been that way before. They'd never experienced that close up the power of God. They'd seen all kinds of power of God in Egypt, but coming out of Egypt, but they could not be that close when the power of God was going to roll back the waters of the Jordan River. So they had to stay far in the back. And now we are going in to possess what belongs to us. And truly, our inheritance ultimately is Jesus himself. We're going in to possess all of him, because every promise that's given to us comes in him and from him. So we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we're talking about all these things that we talk about going in to possess our inheritance. We've got to remember that we're really going after him. And we have to keep our eyes fixed on him if we're going to run this race with victory. And we must not let the culture of this world distract us from this race that we're in. So it doesn't matter whatever we're doing out here in the world, because we do live in the world, we still have to guard our hearts and make sure that nothing takes our hearts away from our love for our Lord. Now, through Jesus' sacrifice, you and I become recipients of the blessing. Not just blessings, but the blessing. And that's really what I want to talk about today. And here's the history of the blessing. We all know about it, but it starts in Genesis 1, verse 28. When God creates man, he speaks a blessing to him, and these are the first words that man ever heard, and it was a blessing. And it says in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule or have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is the blessing. And it was the first words ever spoken to mankind. And I don't know if you know this, but Eden, in the Garden of Eden where they were, Eden means pleasure and delight. And I've even read that it means unending supply, which I believe it could easily mean. But in the Concordance, it says it means pleasure and delight. When man was created and lived in Eden, he had perfect fellowship with God because his spirit was filled with the life of God. And God always speaks from his spirit to man's spirit. And so they just had perfect communion. And the spirit of man was in control of his soul. His soul was in harmony with the spirit of God and the spirit in him. And so there was this perfect peace that man walked in. Now, I want to read Genesis 2, 15 through 17, because here God speaks to man and gives him one responsibility and he gives him one command. It says in Genesis 2, 15, then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. That word keep means to guard it, to protect it, to attend to it, to preserve it, to save it. And verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. So the responsibility was to cultivate and keep the garden. and to guard it, to protect it, because God knew that there was an enemy out there. You know, God gives sometimes a word that you don't understand what it's going to mean down the road. For instance, he said, I want you to plunder the Egyptians when you leave Egypt. But they didn't know they were going to be building a tabernacle when they got out into the wilderness. But God knew, so he was preparing them for that. So often God will tell us something, and we have to watch over what God gives us, just like Adam had to watch over what God gave to him. And the reason is because there is an enemy, and the enemy is going to come to steal what God speaks to us. Because God gives us everything through his word, and the enemy will come to steal that word from us. So this blessing came to Adam and Eve through God's word speaking it to him, to them. Then that was that one command about not eating from that particular tree. And God wanted to give man a choice because God wanted a love relationship with them. And love has to come from a person's heart. They have to choose to love, else it's not love. If I said to my children, every night before you go to bed, you have to come tell me you love me. So they come say, I love you, Mama. And it means nothing. It would be just as much as if I programmed my refrigerator to say, I love you every time I open the door. I love you. Means nothing. But if one of my children climbs up in my lap and says, Mama, I love you, that's love, because it came from the heart. And so God didn't want a robot. He didn't want people that had to love him. He wanted people who would love him back, because he was going to pour his love into them. Now, there was great power in this blessing, and there was power in it for man to enlarge the borders of the Garden of Eden, this garden of delight, this garden of pleasure and provision, because he and Eve would bring more people into the world and have a family, and they would bear fruit of this kingdom from the Spirit of God. And they would be in dominion. And every time they would bring more people in who would bear more fruit, the Eden would be enlarged. The garden would be enlarged. But we know that man gave it all up to Satan. And Satan is the greatest deceiver, the most crafty of all the beasts of the field. So the blessing was lost. And what came in its place was the curse. So from then on, God's desire was to return man to a place of delight and pleasure and dominion and provision, to this place called the blessing. Are y'all with me now? And the blessing returned to man through Abraham. At the time, he was Abram. And I want to read that in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said,
"All these things already marked. If we kind of,
you probably just—I mean, I think these are things that we've all heard before, and God is just bringing greater revelation to them today.
Every one of them has been marked in them.
Yeah, that's fun. I love it when he just—and really, that's what he's doing, I think, because we're talking about things we've all seen. But he's putting it back together so that we have greater revelation to be able to walk in it better than we ever have. Some of these things we've known, but we haven't really been walking in them the way he wants us to, that he's bringing us to that place today. So he says in Genesis 12, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house." He had to take him away from all that pagan environment so he could hear God. And he said, "Leave all this and go to the land which I will show you." And verse 2, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He's speaking the blessing now back on Abraham. And Abraham is going to be the father of all these people now who are going to belong to God. And they're going to be under this blessing. He repeated this to Abram two more times. And then it was passed once to Isaac and it was passed once to Jacob. So the blessing is passing down from generation to generation. And this blessing is a covenant of blessing. And you and I know how important covenant is to God. He will not break or violate his covenant nor alter the thing that comes out of his mouth. And that's Psalm 89:34. So now God has spoken this covenant of blessing over Abraham. And if you just go back and study Abraham, he is blessed among all men at that time. So the blessing is being restored to God's people. All right, but then it comes to us, and we read about that in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That blessing is happy and fortunate you are because you have received God's favor. And you know, I really wanted to go back and read in the Amplified just a couple of verses in Matthew 5 and when he's saying, blessed are you, you know, fellow peacemakers, blessed are you. Well, that's not what he's talking about here necessarily, the blessing, but he's talking about what blessing is. And this gives you a sense of what he has given to us. And it says in verse 3, blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. That's what blessing is all about. This is in the Amplified. And that was the third verse. And then in the fourth verse, it says...
Third verse of chapter...
Chapter 5 of Matthew.
Okay. Oh, Matthew. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the fourth verse says, blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace. All this is part of the blessing that has been given to us. It just gives that Amplified gives you a great understanding of what it means for us to walk in the blessing. So Jesus took us out from under the curse that came after Adam, or through Adam, and put us back under the blessing. So Abraham's blessing was not only that he was going to be the father of a people, that now God could have his family, but they were going to have a land that was going to be a land of total provision and deliverance from their enemies. And it wasn't until Joshua was their leader that they went in and possessed it. It was the blessing that was spoken on to Abraham, but they possessed it with Joshua. But now Jesus has possessed the blessing again for us, and over 2,000 years later we're going in to possess it. I want to read Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. There's a lot in this 10 and 11. It just says this, that Ephesians 3, 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. He wants us to walk in the blessing and the church to walk in the blessing so that the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places can see who God is in us. And he says, verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was always in God, and it was always his purpose for eternity. It was his original purpose that he would, through Jesus, bring us back into the blessing, and that we're gonna be in dominion over these powers and principalities.
Ephesians 4.
3, verse 10 and 11. All right, then I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21. Y'all, this is a, I don't know about you, but this is so powerful to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Y'all know it. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we stand before God without sin. He doesn't look at our sin. Our sin has been forgiven. God has taken care of that issue through Jesus. God's wrath is against sin. And through Jesus, we are no longer under his wrath because he has dealt with the sin issue. There's coming a time when the earth is going through 7 years of great tribulation. And that is God once again pouring out his wrath against sin. But we're not appointed to his wrath. I can actually show you some scriptures there, but because you might want to jot them down because it's just good to remember that. Romans, let me go find it. I think it's Romans 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And there are two other scriptures. I'll give them to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. These are worth remembering. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not under the wrath of God because of Jesus. And then John 3, 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Those are just three scriptures. That's a little aside. You know, that's really not what we're talking about. But 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21, it just reminded me of that because when we are the righteousness of God, through Jesus, we've been forgiven for sin. Past, present, and future sins have all been forgiven. And therefore, when he says, if any man is in Christ, he's therefore a new creature. Because old things have passed away and new things have come. The old is gone, the curse is gone from us. And all things are new. Now we have the blessing. And you know, I want to read a few scriptures in Romans 5 in the Amplified. Because we need to really grasp the fact that we are not under the curse anymore. And I want to read these in the Amplified. I'm going to read verse 12. Maybe through 18. I'm gonna read, and it's a lot of words, but listen to this. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power because all men sinned. All right? To be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given, but sin is not charged to men's account where there's no law to transgress. So once the law came and they weren't obedient, then they were responsible. Verse 14, yet death held sway from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command as Adam did. Adam was a type or a prefigure of the one who was to come in reverse, the former destructive, the latter saving. Now he's making a distinction between what Adam brought to us and what Jesus has brought to us. Verse 15, but God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Really, I can just stop there, because what he's saying is what came through Adam, the curse, was not nearly as strong as what came through Jesus in his grace. And the blessing that has come to us through Jesus is so much greater than the curse that came through Adam. And I don't think we have ever fully grasped that, because our minds have been so much more centered on the sin part than on the life and resurrection and freedom from sin. And really, religion keeps us in that place, because it's always telling you to get your heart right, do the right thing, be more like Jesus. It's all about what you can do. And that keeps us wanting to do right and always looking at what we're doing wrong, and then asking forgiveness for it. And God wants us to realize that what Jesus did for us is so powerful that it overcomes all that sin business. It doesn't mean we're perfect anymore. We still do things we ought not to do, but we have an advocate with the Father. Let me say this. We are in Adam, all man, we are in Adam by birth, but we're in Jesus by faith. And they are two different creations. There was the creation that came through Adam, and now there is a new creation that comes through Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to see if it says it very different. It says in the Amplified in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. I think we need to see it as we're part of a new creation. We still see ourselves as part of the old creation of Adam. And in that book that Andrew Womack writes, he says, what was I going to tell you that he said? Well, it left my head. It was something that he says, but I might come back to it. We are part of a new race of people that never existed before. And new meaning, not like we say this is a new car, because cars are not new. It's just a new car, new kind of car. But a new creation is something that's never existed before. Since old things have passed away, they cannot cross over the blood and be part of this new way. And we just don't have to live anymore in that old way under the curse. We need to live in the blessings. But we have to renew our minds to this truth that we're blessed and not cursed. It's just a way of thinking that I think we're going to move into this way of thinking that's fresh, that we are blessed. We live in the blessings. We don't live under the curses anymore. And that business in Romans 5 just talks about how much more powerful this new creation is than the old creation was. And then in Romans 8, that first verse of Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We're not under the law of sin and death, and that's where the curse is. You know, in Exodus 20, verse 5, I'll go back and read this. This is when the Ten Commandments were being given to the people. And in Exodus 20, verse 3 and 4 are the first two commandments that were given. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. He was saying, if you don't put me first, you're in idolatry. And the curses are going to pass from generation to generation if you do that. All that's based on this law, the Ten Commandments. And if you don't put me first, you're putting yourself into idolatry, which opens you up to the curse. But in the New Testament now, it's different. Because of Jesus, those curses don't have to pass down anymore. Since you and I don't know all of our background, we don't know all of our ancestors and everything that went on, we just don't know how to deal with all of that. So Jesus comes and deals with all of the curses and gives us the blessing. And whatever generational curses were about to or did pass into your life, the moment you were born again, they passed away. Now think on that a minute. All these curses that can pass from generation to generation, they were taken care of by Jesus. So they don't have to be a part of our life. If we have now connected to Jesus, we are under the blessing. So if all of our ancestors were living under the curse and we have come under Jesus, the curses no longer come to us. Jesus took care of them. He's put us under the blessing. And that's what we have to pass down now to the next generation. The Bible says that you and I are now part of a peculiar people. We are a chosen race for God's own possession so that we can proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are part of a new race of people. A peculiar people. And we are now part of God's own possession. That's what He was doing with Abraham. He was going to develop a people who were His possession, His family. And He could pour out blessings on them. And now we have entered into the blessings through Jesus Christ, who has now enabled us to be partakers of the blessing of Abraham. And once we are blessed, it's not reversible unless we open the door. And this is something that I think I want you to think about what I'm going to say. Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse causeless will not come or cannot come. There has to be a cause for the curse to come. Okay, yes, if I do sin, I can open the door. But Jesus has already taken care of all that sin. So it's not like I have to say, well, I haven't been acting right, so I know I'm under the curse. I've opened the door to the curse. I think the way we open the door to the curse is through unbelief. That we don't believe we're under the blessing. We still think we have to partake of the curse if we don't act right. The children of Israel could not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. That's in Hebrews 3:19. Now, I can't put all of this in a neat little box because there is a sowing and a reaping. You know, Galatians 5 says, God is not mocked, be not deceived. Whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, he reaps corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he reaps life. So there is a sowing and reaping here. Also, Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the reality is we've been given the spirit of life on the inside of us, and now we're choosing to live out of that. Now we may falter and live out of our flesh sometimes, and we may experience some consequences of that, but we're still under the blessing. We hadn't lost the life that's on the inside of our spirit. We're still under the blessing. The problem is we just haven't known that, I think. I think we haven't, maybe we've known it, but we just haven't fully embraced this truth that we don't live under the curses anymore. Old things have passed away. It's not sin that brings death, that brings the curse. We're not living under that. We're living under the blessings that God has brought back to us through Jesus Christ, because he wanted to bring us back to that place where he created Adam to be in the first place. There's an interesting thing in Numbers 22, and it's about Balak and Balaam.
Let me get you some water, sis.
Yeah, that'd be
good. That is powerful stuff.
I think it really is, because I think
powerful stuff.
If we have this revelation and can walk in this, we're going to look so different from the world.
That I just, is powerful.
Thank you.
Lane making herself at home in
Lily's
house.
Yep.
So we're all at each other.
Yeah, they all live together.
Yeah, we
it's what
can
you
I
call
live over here sometime.
Yeah,
it's what you call family. All right. So Balak, he was the head king of the Moabites, and he saw what the Israelites were doing to all these other peoples out there. He saw the power of their God, and he was afraid. So he goes to Balaam to get Balaam to come and curse the Israelites. And I'm going to read in Numbers 22, verse 6 and verse 12. He says, now therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Now, Balak even knew that. And then verse 12, he says, and God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. You cannot curse what is blessed. And if you continue to read the story about Balaam, every time Balak would bring him to look down on the Israelites, Balaam could never curse them because they were blessed, and the things that would come out of his mouth were always blessings. God had blessed those people, and it could not be reversed. You know, the fact that Balak was so afraid of them it reminds me of Moses, who said, God, if you're not going to go with us, I'm not going, because it's your presence that distinguishes us from all other peoples in the earth. I think that's in Genesis 33, or Exodus 33. I'm not sure.
Exodus
33. Exodus 33. Mm-hmm. God's presence was so real that all the other people could see that they were different. And they were experiencing supernatural things from God that kept them blessed. The church should look the same way. Remember when Isaac blessed Jacob because he was deceived, and Jacob received Isaac's blessing of the firstborn? And it was devastating to Isaac because he couldn't retract it and then give it to Esau. The blessing had been spoken, and the blessing could not be reversed. I'm going to read verse 23, verses 19 through 21, because this is where these scriptures come from that you all know. When Balak had him to speak the curse, this was the blessing that... the blessing came out of Balaam, and he said this in verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. When Jesus took the curse for us, and it said, we read that in Galatians 3, he took the curse for us. He took every negative force, like sickness, like depression, like not being able to enjoy your family because of strife, or not being able to ever seem to get ahead, or just never having any favor on you. All those negative things are the curse, and Jesus bore all that negative stuff. He bore everything that would come to kill, steal, and destroy. All that stuff is a part of the old creation, and old things have passed away, and all things are now new, because we're now blessed. The blessing is really an anointing that is on us. It's an empowerment for us to exercise authority in this earth. That's what was given to Adam and Eve. They were given this authority to rule on the earth so that they could go forth and multiply and bear the fruit of the kingdom of God and bear the fruit of the Garden of Eden. So, you know, you've heard it said that Jesus made it possible for us to go from earth to heaven, but he wants us while we're here to bring heaven to earth. This is what Adam was to do. That was what the blessing was all about. And that's up to us to live in the blessing and enlarge the borders of the kingdom of God wherever we are. We live in a world where the curse is working. But we're not of this world. We live from a better kingdom where Jesus is Lord and where the blessing functions. We live from a place of the blessing. Therefore, we're living from this place of anointing, this place of power, this place of dominion. And when you live in the blessing and are coming from the kingdom of God, you're living in already victory. And so you're having to come against all the things that are coming against the blessing that you walk in. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty big. We're living in this place of victory in the blessing, and what we have now is this authority and dominion to come against everything that's trying to take the blessing away from us and lie to us that we have to partake of the curse. which we do not have to partake of. Old things have passed away. All things are new. So to live in the blessing is not for us anyway to live in a particular place on earth in the natural as the people did in the Old Testament. It's a place in the spirit. And the blessing operates anyway. Jesus said, what did he say? My something is not of this realm. What was that word? My. He was talking to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this realm. Yeah. My kingdom is not of this realm. It's a spiritual kingdom. Now think about this. In the Old Testament, when the blessing had been spoken over Abraham, Abraham was not a perfect man. He wasn't walking in perfect faith to begin with. He created an Ishmael, but he was still under the blessing. He lied about his wife, and yet he was still under the blessing. If you read the story of Abraham, he was so wealthy. He was so rich with things. But it wasn't just things. It was the favor of God on him. You know, he said to Lot, we have gotten to be so big that we can't both stay in the same place. We've got to separate. And you choose. And Lot chose the most fertile place to go and left him over here in the desert. He was still blessed. I mean, it didn't matter what he did. He was living under the blessing. My point is that he wasn't perfect. He didn't do everything just right, but he was still living under the blessing. You know, I mean, think about Jacob. Jacob had deceived his father, but he was living out there with his uncle Laban, who was constantly coming against him. But he was still blessed. He was the one that ended up producing the 12 tribes of Israel. My gosh. You know? And Joseph lived in the blessings. In spite of all the circumstances that came against him, he lived in the blessings. The three Hebrew children lived in the blessings when they were taken to Babylon. Daniel constantly lived in the blessings of God in spite of the fact that he was in a pagan world. So you and I can live in the blessing of God regardless of what our circumstances are. That's what I'm trying to say. And regardless of the fact that we aren't perfect, but we want to please God. Our hearts are right. We want to please God. But we're still under the blessings. But our response to all of that is simply to believe it. Do you remember when the disciples said to Jesus, how do we work the works of God? And he said, you work the works of God because you believe on him whom he has sent. That's John 6:28. Our part in all of this is believing. So the blessing is really accessed by faith. Even though Abraham didn't do everything right, he believed in the grace of God. It said he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. So he actually was the father of our faith. Because Abraham had faith. The law was given through Moses to keep man in the blessing, but now we are in the blessing through faith in his grace. And I think we all know this, but because so many of these things we've talked about before, we're just putting it all together here, but blessing came through God's words that he spoke to Adam and Eve. Go forth, multiply, bear fruit, and have dominion over everything on this earth. He spoke it. He spoke it to Abraham. And now he's speaking it to us through his word. So our blessing comes through His words, and it comes through Jesus, the living Word, who came and lived out the Word of God. And it just behooves us to remember that God's Word is a seed, and the kingdom of God is based on the seed principle. And, you know, that's the parable of the seed sower, that it lands on different kinds of soil in a man's heart. And the enemy's always coming to steal that word. But if we receive that word and hold on to that word and become a doer of that word, we can produce fruit of that word. Because there's power in God's word to always be fulfilled. That's in Isaiah 55. His word never returns to him void, but it accomplishes what it was sent to do. There's always power in the word for the word to be fulfilled. Because Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." They have spirit and life in them. They're not just dead words. So they can live. And so often when we are speaking God's word and we just don't see into the spirit realm, but we are doing something in the spirit realm when we speak the word. When we speak the word, that Father, I thank you that all things have passed away. I'm not under any curse. I'm living under the blessings of God. We are establishing something in the spirit realm. So our commission is to go ye into all the world and take the gospel, take the seeds of the gospel and produce the Garden of Eden, to produce this place of blessing, to produce this place of the kingdom of God where we live out of blessing and victory. I remember when Jesus told all of his disciples to go, the 70, he said, "Go heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils." And he was saying, go bring the blessing to people. And that's what Jesus did when he walked on the earth. He was bringing the blessing back to life. And when we partake of Jesus, we are partaking of the blessing. Remember what Joshua said when they were getting ready to enter into the land. I'm going to go back and read a couple of verses in the first chapter of Joshua. It's, in verse 7 and 8, he's talking about hanging on to the very word of God. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." That means an active recitation of the re-speaking of God's word. "So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." That's how God was preparing them to go in and possess what belonged to them. That's how He's preparing us to possess everything that belongs to us. It comes through the Word. The blessing comes through the Word. And we have to know that. We have to know what the Word teaches us. And the whole New Testament is the blessing. It's our inheritance. It's the promises of God. And we are putting our faith in the one who gives the promise. We're putting our faith in the one who lived the promises. We're putting our faith in the one who died that we might have the promises. And remember, we've talked about this, but we're not putting our faith in the promise itself, but the one who gave the promise. Because that's how Abraham was willing to go sacrifice Isaac, because his faith was not in Isaac, who was the promise. His faith was in the God who gave the promise. So he figured God would have to raise him from the dead if he killed him, because his faith was in the God who gave the promise to him. If his faith was only in Isaac, he wouldn't have been able to go sacrifice him. I don't think I can put all of this in a neat little box. It's just so much revelation. But this I do know, and I'm convinced of it, because it's in God's Word, that He redeemed us from the curse of the law, and He brought us into the blessing. And I want to read Psalm 35, verse 27, because I think it's a picture of the fullness of the blessing that God has given to us. The psalmist says, "Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication, and let them say continually, 'The Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant.'" That word prosperity is shalom, and we've all written these down, but I'll tell you again what that word shalom means. It means welfare, health, peace, prosperity, favor, safety, rest, wholeness, completeness. Did I say success in all things? An unimpaired relationship with others. That's everything. That's prosperity. It doesn't really say lots of stuff. We think that's blessing. Ooh, God blessed you. Look what you have. It's not just stuff. True prosperity is health, welfare, peace, favor, safety, rest, wholeness, completeness, success in all things. And that's what the people were going in to possess, that where Joshua was taking them, and they were going to follow the presence of God in to possess all of this. Because he said to Joshua, "Here's how you're going to have success in all things. Keep my word before you all the time. Because my word is full of health, prosperity, rest, completeness. It's all in the word. It's all promised to us. And as we believe this is what belongs to us and we walk it out, we're going to look different from the world. And we should. Because we are a race of people who are under the blessings of God. We are a new creation. We're not the old. If you are in Christ, old things have passed away. The curse is gone, and now you're under the blessing. That is pretty powerful. And that's why I recommend this book. Because he's teaching this. I mean, he lives it. Better than I ever have. I'm going to, though. I'm moving into it because I really understand it. But there's more to understand, I'm sure. That we have to take what belongs to us. And he's really talking about it. He talks a lot about the blessing in this book. And it just will help us to grasp the whole thing. Reading that book will be a blessing to you. Because it's everything we've been talking about these last 4 weeks, and it's what y'all and I have been crying out to God for. You said there's got to be more. We've got to see more of your power. We just want to know you more, because there's more than what we're walking in. We just feel like we've leveled off here. We got to have more. I think that's why God's bringing this revelation to us, because he's brought us to the place where we're hungry for the more. And now he's giving it to us, and it's in his word, and he's wanting us to embrace it and love it and live in it and become the living word, become the people who are blessed of God. We're going to look different from the world. We have to. But it is all of this is about the church. But the church is made up of believers. What we see out in the church world today is a mix of all kinds. And he even gives the parable that at the end of the age, the angel is going to come, separate the good fish from the bad. He talks about the wheat and the tares at the end, because everything looks the same until right before the end. you can tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. And there's going to be a separation. That the church is going to look different. And when he says he's coming for a glorified church, he's coming for a church that reveals who God is. And he says for a church without spot or blemish. And that word spot means without people in the mix who aren't really in. He's coming for a church that doesn't have a mix of people. There are no spots. It's all people who are connected to him and believe. And we may be at all different levels of our understanding and our growth and our knowledge of him. But our heart, all the hearts will be right. You know, that was that vision that God gave me of the circus and then all the hearts. And they were all the same. They were all bowed before Jesus. And, you know, that everybody's in different places, different personalities, express things differently. But it's our hearts that are all the same. And that's the hearts that are true believers are the church. And it's the church that's going to reveal the blessing that God has provided through Jesus. Now, why wouldn't anybody want that? If they can see that lived out in the church. I heard on the radio one day, people have not really seen Jesus. They've only seen the church, which was a sad commentary of the church. But unfortunately, it's true. I mean, we know people who don't want God because they see so much hypocrisy in the church. But the church, the body of believers who really believe, are going to be a people who reveal the beauty of God, the blessing of God. And it's because we can walk in this world of darkness and have dominion over it. Because we live in the blessing. We have that anointing. We have that power. The blessing is an empowerment to live out what God says we can have.
Ooh.
That's it.